This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome back to The Rush. Ryan Doyle is off this week. Rash Munir is here. I am Jay Michaels. You are where you need to be, I'm sure. Hopefully, with the phone in one hand. And your computer open, ready to text. I'm like, how many phones does everybody have? That's what I'm trying to think of. Getting ready to call, getting ready to text. Hey, maybe you're using the same device for both. That works too. 416-872-1010. You can text The Rush at 71010. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Roundtable coming up at 5:45 this afternoon. So many stories to unpack for you. Laura Stone, the Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, will join us, along with Bill Carroll, host of The Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at noon, coast to coast, host of The Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. And oh, what a morning Bill Carroll is going to have tomorrow. This story, obviously, interesting around the Prime Minister, I think, Reshmi, considering that this is, I think, could quite possibly be the hottest day of the year. Interesting that this is the day that it would unfold, no?
Yeah. In a matter of a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, the government announced that they were going to give a $900 million contract, a sole source contract, to the We Charity Group. And now everything is just unraveling, you know. It seems to be, the relationship of Justin Trudeau with this We Charity, his family, Trudeau's mother and brother, both paid to appear at the organization's charity events, more than $300,000 paid out to them over a couple of years. There's a lot to unravel, and of course Evan Solomon has been all over it, so let's hear from him on how he describes this scandal.
When scandals come in sizes, this is extra large, and I'll tell you why. This is close to $1 billion that the federal government sole source to the We Charity. This is used to be called Free the Children, and it's run by the Kielberger brothers, Craig and Mark. I've known these guys for a long time, and they've been roundly applauded all around the world. They want to go on Oprah. But when the government decided to have a program for student jobs, and it was weird, Jim, because it was like, we're going to pay people to volunteer, so they redefined the word volunteer. Sole source contract, $900+ million to We, after a week of people saying, wait a second, the Prime Minister speaks there, his wife Sophie Gregoire, Trudeau is an ambassador there, there's a podcast, his mother, his brother, they've all spoken there. Why were they the only organization chosen?
Yeah, so many questions around this, and we'll chat with Marika Walsh in just a moment. As I mentioned to you earlier, Reshmi, you know, my involvement with We every year was, you know, when I was doing FM morning radio shows, and we would be doing the talent rundown for who was coming to town, be it a Jonas Brother, or be it a Demi Lovato, or be it, you know, you name a Canadian, an American, or an international celebrity, they would get massive names for these massive arena-sized shows. And the passion that young people would have in the stands as they, you know, raise money for charities and learned about social issues to get into that room, this was a massive rock star level event. And, you know, as events get bigger and bigger and bigger, questions start to surround exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Who's paying for what? What arm pays for which? The Kielberger brothers, you know, how much money are they spending personally? So I think this is obviously just the first of many conversations that we're going to be having, including one with our very own Marika Walsh, good friend of the program. How are you, Marika?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Interesting day. I know Reshmi's all fired up. Because we're on a Zoom chat, right? And I keep looking over at her, and her eyes just keep getting wider and wider and wider as we jump into this story today. But we should probably point out, too, that, you know, so many media outlets have been hard at work on this story, and we're really just starting to see the fruits of everybody's labors today, including your own.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully my past work, Jay, has done something. And it's not just today that there's some fruits of the labors, but yes, there is some major developments today in the fact that the Prime Minister's mother and brother have been paid for their participation in We Day events since the Liberals came to power. So since the Liberals have been in office and since the Liberals have been granting contracts to the We Charity, the Prime Minister's family has also been benefiting from the charity. And this, of course, raises many more conflict of interest questions that already existed based on the fact that the Prime Minister and his wife also take part in events at the same time that the cabinet awarded this very big contract to We Charity, which has now been canceled.
So Marika, when we talk about this money that's been paid out to Margaret Trudeau and her son, and like we're talking about more than $300,000 over the last couple of years, which to anyone, if you think about a charity and how they collect money for youth volunteerism, to be, you know, doling it out to speakers when they say that they don't pay their speakers, how do you follow this bouncing ball with all of these statements that are being issued now that you're hearing from the government and now you're hearing from We Charity and the Me to We organization?
Well, there's actually one more. We just confirmed that Sophie Gregoire Trudeau was paid for an event in 2012. That's the Prime Minister's wife. And that news contradicts what the Prime Minister's office told me yesterday, when they told me that the Prime Minister and his wife have never been paid for events by We. So there's clearly more questions coming. And the thing is that, you know, once the opposition decides to dig into something, the options in a minority government are many. So we have the Finance Committee already studying this. The Finance Committee has also demanded all documents related to this situation. Another committee is expected to decide to start saying this tonight. The Ethics Commissioner is investigating this. This will be the Prime Minister's third ethics investigation since he took power in 2015. And the Auditor General's Office and what's called the Procurement Ombudsman, so the person who's responsible for overseeing or vetting the process of awarding contracts in government, are both considering their own studies.
This is huge. Like Jay was describing me as my eyes bugging out for the last few hours. But when you say Sophie Gregoire Trudeau was paid, my hands are up now, Marika. I mean, was that denied somewhere in this timeline in the last few weeks?
So it was denied to us yesterday. But what's very interesting about this, and Canada Land reported that they were asking whether Trudeau or Sophie Gregoire Trudeau or anybody in the Trudeau family had been paid by We. And kind of the sneaky way around it had been, no, they weren't paid by the We Charity. They were paid through the Me to We for-profit affiliate of the We Charity. But it was paid through that affiliate for We Day events and for other events that We Charity was hosting. So Canada Land has pointed out that discrepancy. And then from the Globe and Mail's reporting, the Prime Minister's office very clearly told us yesterday that the Prime Minister and his wife have never been paid. Now they said they have never been paid by We. I don't know who paid Sophie Gregoire Trudeau the $1,400 in 2012, but certainly it was paid for an event with the We Charity for her participation in it.
Yeah, I know that she had, obviously she had her TV career before she was married to the Prime Minister, and she hosted an entire We Day as well, I believe, in Montreal. So maybe it was around one of those events. I want to play something for you, Marika. I think you'll recognize this because you were there. This is you and the Prime Minister talking about him recusing himself.
And did you recuse yourself from that discussion and the decision at cabinet?
No, I did not. I have,
why not?
Long worked on youth issues, both as before I got into politics and since I've been in politics as a youth critic, getting young people involved in serving their country, recognizing their desire to build a better Canada, particularly through this time of crisis, is something that I believe in deeply.
So, Marika, for people that haven't drilled down as hard on this story as most people that are sort of inside baseball have, what would the importance of him recusing himself from that meeting have been? What would that have meant?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing to point out, Jay, because nobody is saying that people should not engage with charities and work with charities and work with student groups. You know, you're allowed to have a life, but there are very specific rules in Canada for quote-unquote public office holders, so politicians and other high-profile people in government, that they need to disclose any potential conflicts and then ensure that they are acting to ensure those conflicts don't actually happen. So the Conflict of Interest Act requires somebody like the Prime Minister to recuse themselves if they could be placed in a conflict of interest when they're making a decision. Now, whether he actually did break the law is what's being investigated now. But the reason why I asked the Prime Minister that is because it seems that that is what's required in this situation. That's what the NDP, for example, said yesterday after Mr. Trudeau made those statements. NDP MP Charlie Angus told me it seems like the prime minister has admitted to his conflict of interest. But the reason why I'm asking those questions is because the government, until yesterday, refused to answer those questions. And yesterday was the first time the prime minister both acknowledged that this was a cabinet decision, not a civil service decision, to award this major contract to We Charity, and also that he remained involved in the discussion and the ultimate decision.
Okay, so for anyone wanting to continue following this, Marika, what are your questions? What are the outstanding questions here in this story?
The outstanding questions, I think, are many. I think we need to get more clarity from the Prime Minister's office, for example, on why yesterday they said that Sophie Gregoire Trudeau was not ever paid for this. I think also there are questions around the exact process. How was it decided that We Charity was the right charity to organize this massive program, which the government says was done because students right now are in need due to the job shortages around COVID-19? And so those are the process, the government accountability questions. Then there's all these other questions, for example, around the travel expenses and how much was paid by the We Charity, for example, to fly Sophie Gregoire Trudeau to London with her mother and her mother-in-law, Margaret Trudeau, and her daughter. There's lots of questions around how much was paid and when. And then there's also questions, bottom line, about what the government did, why it did what it did, and who knew in government about the conflict that the Prime Minister might have with We Charity.
So many people weighing in on our text board, and we're going to take calls in just a few minutes at 416-872-1010. A lot of your texts at 71010, you know, talking about arrogance, talking about entitlement, and a number of people saying, you know, guys, if this is just the latest scandal, if this is a prime minister that can get through SNC-Lavalin, that can get through blackface on three separate occasions, you know, obviously the question, I guess, now, Marika, is this something big enough to bring down a minority government? I guess that's probably an outstanding question as well.
Yeah, certainly what is different in this case than in those other two cases is that the Prime Minister is a minority government. So while the opposition had few avenues in the last two cases to really pursue investigations and pursue document disclosure, they have the power now because they hold the majority of votes when they want to work together. And so we'll see how far that goes. We're already seeing that cooperation lead to the coming document dump from the Finance Committee. But those things will change how much we learn about this, I think. And then there is this question, as you said, about what impact this has on the government. The Prime Minister has survived the past two ethics breaches. And the question is, first of all, whether Canadians are really paying attention when they have much more pressing health and economic concerns. And then, of course, what, if any, impact that has on Mr. Trudeau's, viability as a leader. One of the questions that lots of communications and crisis managers think about is, what is the narrative? You know, if there's a one-off or two, do people just shrug it off? Does a third make it a pattern? Those kinds of things help to inform how people will perceive the prime minister, but it's way too early to say whether it will help them to perceive him negatively or positively.
Marika Walsh from the Globe and Mail, thank you so much for talking with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Hey, hey. Welcome back to The Rush. I'm Jay Michaels. Rush Munair, host of CTV Newsnight on Quibi. With me all week. Next week as well, right? Still? You didn't change your mind?
Hey, if you'll have me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, if you'll have me,
100%.
I'm here.
And now I have you on tape. That's how I trap people. You can't go now. Because you said it's legal and binding. Roundtable coming up 5:45 this afternoon. The biggest stories that you just heard inside Kim Getty's newscast at 5:30. All under review with our panel. Laura Stone, Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, joins us. Bill Carroll from the Bill Carroll Show and the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. Also inside that conversation at 5:45. All for pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. If you lost your job for any reason, including coronavirus, make sure you know your rights. Know them quick and easy and free at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Now, if you're getting a busy signal as you call, just keep trying. We're going to get to as many people as we can right now. 416-872-1010 for The Rush as we drill down on the latest from WE. As we found out just moments ago, Rashmi, not only is it Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's mom and brother, mm-hmm. which you could probably say, well, you know, I don't know all of my mom's activities and my brother and I don't talk too much. We also have found out that Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, his wife, the woman he sees across the kitchen island. I'm assuming at dual vanities at night while brushing your teeth. How do you explain not knowing about that person making money from the weed charity back in September of 2012?
Yes, receiving an honorarium of over $1,000. But, you know, Justin Trudeau's mother, Margaret, and brother, they've collectively, over the last few years, have been paid more than $300,000 in speaking engagement fees that the We Charity said they don't do. They don't pay speaker fees. So there's some confusion, a lot to clarify. But what we do know is that the We Charity said we do not pay, and the Trudeau family, these members, have not been paid by us. And now today, both sides saying, oh, yes, there was a clerical error. We Charity says we did pay Margaret Trudeau over the last 4 years, and this is how much we paid her. And now the Trudeau family, Justin Trudeau's team, putting out a statement trying to tell us, remember that this is about youth volunteerism and the focus on that. This was all sparked 2 weeks ago when the Liberal government offered We Charity that sole source contract of more than $900 million and then decided, no, maybe we shouldn't do this. The ethics commissioner looking into all of it. So let's go back last Friday when Justin Trudeau admitted that that sole sourced contract to We was not a good idea.
Obviously, the way this situation has unfolded has been unfortunate. We will continue to work hard to make sure that young people get the opportunities to serve their country, but it will no longer be with the organization We.
He had said that that organization was the only one who could take on such a project in helping Canadian youth volunteer. Here's more from that day.
As for We, I think the organization is going to take some time to reflect on its next steps and how exactly it responds to this this situation. But I will always be there to support young people, as I'm sure will be my family.
And, I think we'll touch on this in the roundtable too, Reshmi. There was a way in which this could have worked. It would have probably gone back a number of years. I think that if you say We Day in Canada, people immediately know what you're talking about. They have built up a brand. I have seen the effect that it has on young people. I think great work has been done. I would say that even behind the scenes, with young people, lives may have been saved because they've been able to focus on being a part of what can be an incredible organization. Had there have been transparency from day one, maybe this contract would have still been awarded the way in which it was.
I mean, we have also heard from people, and I would say people of color and women have had issues within the We organization as employees, as volunteers. And those stories have been shared on social media over the last few years. I've also heard from friends who run charities who say when a charity like We gets as big as it does, there are going to be problems. There's always going to be problems when something that starts out with good intentions gets so big. And as we say, Craig and Mark Kielberger, like these brothers are now celebrities in their own right, and they get celebrities to come out and help them with their charity. How charitable is this charity?
Yeah.
It's a big question. It's
416-872-1010 for the Rush. I want to thank you all for being so patient. We'll start with Tim. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing well, guys. If anyone has a favorable opinion of Justin Trudeau, you need to completely get that out of your mindset. He needs to go. And if there's any hope getting him out of the next election, it would be the MP, Pierre Poilievre. I wish that he would run. He's the only one that would have any type of traction to get to oust him.
Yeah, but he dropped out of the leadership race.
I know he did, and that's why he needs to get back in. I don't know why he got out, but media and everyone else needs to plead with him, going, Canada needs you, and you're the only one that can get that can oust him. Yeah, the way in which I watch him in committee and debate, and when he just absolutely lays into Bill Morneau, like he's the only one that has just what it takes to get. To get rid of Trudeau. I don't see any other person that can have any type of traction against them.
All right, the ringing endorsement from Tim. We appreciate your call this afternoon. This is something Reshmi and I have been talking about, behind the scenes. Is it about being a Teflon PM? Is it about you can withstand absolutely anything? Or is it really about putting the right person up against a Justin Trudeau rolling into the next election? And I guess the real question too, Reshmi, is, obviously we had that endorsement, but does that person exist that can actually win?
Well, and you're seeing a prime minister who is facing his third ethics investigation. He has been investigated for conflicts of interest more than any other prime minister. And so if there is damage being done to that reputation, who is going to cash in on that? And that's what I think Tim was implying there, too. And we're getting those messages to our text board, too, at 71010 saying, yeah, sure, you know, bring down the government, but who's going to fill in? The Conservatives have no chance to win in an election. They're delusional if they think Peter McKay will win. Where is Peter McKay right now? I'll check his Twitter to see how he's responding to this. Well, a lot of people weigh in, right?
I think that Peter McKay is on his LinkedIn right now putting together Drake gifts alongside of, I think that's the latest that I saw from Peter.
I think he's still learning French.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
What'd you want to say today?
Well, my son has been waiting more than 8 weeks for a job. And if we had gone through, even with all of the controversy, he would have been able to get a job through we. So now he will not be able to work this summer. I will have to fork out more money in the fall to send him, you know, to pay for his college. This would have been a program, and I wouldn't have cared one way or another if there had or had not been an RFP. Let's cut through the BS.
Yeah.
Get the kids these jobs that they're dying for, that they're needing to get to pay for their universities or college educations. It's not fair. And I get it. Yeah, he cut some corners. He did what he had to do to get, but we're in a situation where it needed to be done.
So what you're saying is, even if there was, you know, potentially conflict of interest, you're okay with that because it's more important that we keep the wheels of government moving and that the funds get allocated where they should get funded, because they could still get allocated quickly,
but
if the government wants to.
It's not going to be in time now because they're going to have to put it out to an RFP. It's going to take weeks by the time this gets awarded to anybody. It'll be August, September? Who's that going to help?
Yeah, I really get your frustration. Thank you for your call. I've got time, hopefully, for Dave. How are you, Dave?
Hey, I'm great. How you guys doing?
Good, sir. What's up?
Well, you know, he's going to skate through this. I mean, I get frustrated. I thought my head was going to fly off during SNC-Lavalin. But the thing is, there's two issues. One, which you already hit, is that the Conservatives keep running a terrible campaign. And the second thing is there's an incredible media bias. Katie Telford and Gerald Butts are amazing at being able to organize people to ask him questions in a really easy way so they can skate the issue into, you know, it was all about the jobs. This one will be, it's all about the children. And it'll, you know, I didn't realize this is a great learning opportunity for Canadians. And that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, and you know, I know what you're saying too, Dave, because you could look to, I think, Reshmi, you could look to the outlets that the Prime Minister does sit down with. You know, he's not going to sit down with anybody that's going to ask him a hard question. He's going to be where there's a lighting of a Christmas tree or, you know, it's putting on an apron to cook alongside of a morning television host. There's going to be a lot of softballs, enough to have your own co-ed league, I'm thinking. More to come.
Okay. Well, that's the responsibility of journalists. I hear you.
No,
but I would say that this is the work of journalism.
Oh, I agree.
So you have your morning shows and then you've got the hard work.
My point was, if he doesn't sit down with real journalists, how can they ask him the real questions? That's my point. Mm.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.